Well, good morning, Second Service. It's good to see you today. It's good to be back with you after a few days away. Maggie and I had breakfast in Seattle yesterday, and lunch in Dallas, and dinner in Conway, so don't ask us if we're rested. Turn in your Bibles to the 95th division of the Psalms. And before I read our text this morning, I want to ask you a question, and then I want to make a statement. Then I'll read the passage of Scripture that we have before us and discuss with you a calling master, God, who wants to gain our attention this morning. A contrary mindset, the hardness of our hearts that sometimes fails to listen when God speaks. And then, quite frankly, a critical moment today, right now, here and now, we should listen and respond to our Lord. So here's the question. Has there ever been a time in your life when you burned with more passion, when you felt closer, when you had more Christian zeal than you do this morning? Has there ever been a time when you were closer to your God than right now? And I want you to ponder that question for a moment. The moments after salvation, at some point in time when something happened in your life that caused you to declare His glory and give Him praise, has there ever been a time in your life when you were closer to Christ, when your fellowship was sweeter than right now? That's the question. Here's the statement. We are prone to wander and drift. Some of us, like lead, drop out of fellowship with God because of one rebellion or rejection, because we fail to listen and love and live for the Lord. Others of us drift slowly but surely out of good and great fellowship with God because of many minor choices made along life's way to just simply not listen and obey the Word of God. But no matter whether you've dropped out suddenly or drifted over time, we're back to the question. Has there ever been a time in your life when you were closer to God and greater in fellowship and worship than this very moment? When you have lost your intimacy with God, what do you do? Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry ground. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they've not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 7. For He is our God, we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Father, as we look at this passage of Scripture and as it looks at us, help us to hear your voice and obey your will for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. A calling master. The personal subject of that call today, if you. It gets personal when you open your Bible, because it's not always about your husband or your wife, your son, your daughter, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, or your friend. It's not always about the lost man on foreign soil. It's not always about the backslidden man who lives next door. Today, the question is personal. Today, if you hear his voice, how did it come to be so personal? The passage is presented to Christians. The first six verses describe how we come into his presence to praise him who is a mighty God worthy of our praise. Of course, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ, we beg you to trust him as your personal Savior. But the passage that is before us and the message that God has laid upon my heart is a message to those of us who claim to be Christians, who have in times past created a relationship with God through trusting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And with that relationship comes a fellowship with Christ that says he never leaves us, nor will he ever forsake us. And while that relationship is so strong that nothing can separate us from the love of God, that fellowship is so fragile that disobedience will certainly destroy our fellowship. So why would we believe in the security of the believer? Because when you deal with a relationship, it's all of God. It's grace. It's by faith, and that not of ourselves. God saves us by his marvelous grace and creates a binding relationship. But listen very closely to me. Fellowship is based upon your walking in obedience before him. It is based upon you living out the Christ life as commanded in the Scriptures. It is about you taking up your cross and following him daily. And fellowship is what I am dealing with this morning. And know this, it's just pretty personal. It's not about him or her, or them. Today, if you hear his voice. So not only is it personal, it is profound. This calling master, this God of the universe, this Lord, this King of kings, this one who's worthy to be praised says, first of all, I want you to acclaim me. Verse 1, let us sing to the Lord and make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. God desires that we stand and shout to the tops of the mountains. He is Lord. He is King. He is Master. He is Savior. He is my all in all. And that we ought to be doing today. But unfortunately, when fellowship is dim, when it's hindered, when it's hurt, the shout goes out of the saints and the pout usually comes in. So God wants us today to acclaim him. Secondly, this passage indicates that we ought to approach him. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. How can we approach the King of glory? In the Old Testament, it was an invitation to come to the temple and to sing praises and to worship him in that place. But in the New Testament, we have a far different set of circumstances. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We're told he's the mediator between God and man. We can come into God's presence through the lovely, sweet name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Whether it's a shade tree, whether it's driving the car, at your house, at your job, or here in this altar, you can come into the presence of God by simply whispering the sweet name of Jesus Christ. He said, I not only want you to acclaim me, he said, oh, come and approach me. Come into my presence. Let me know your heart's desire and let me share with you my heart's desire. He says, not only acclaim me and approach me, but he said, you can adore me. Come and worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord your Maker. I'm your God, you're my people, the sheep of my hand, the sheep of my pasture. You can adore me. And that's what a service like this is all about. You're going out into a tough world. You're going to face difficult circumstances. You'll have decisions to make this coming week that'll try your very spirit. Why are we here this morning? We are here to praise our God who is worthy to be praised. So don't sit on your hands. Lift them to high heaven. Give him praise and honor and glory. He's worthy. He's mighty. He's awesome. He's eternal. He's holy. He's everlasting. And God is worthy to be praised. So our Master calls us today in a personal way and in a profound way. However, we often have a contrary mindset. Now, here's what I mean by that. All of us as Christians are to put on the whole armor of God. And it begins with the helmet of salvation, which is not simply being saved. It's thinking like a Christian. The helmet of salvation implies the very mind of Christ. The helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, gird your loins with truth, hold the shield of the faith, have the sword of the Spirit, put on the shoes of the gospel, do all your praying in the Spirit, and go forth taking your stand against the evil one. That's what we're advised, encouraged, even commanded to do by Paul in Ephesians 6 every day. So how could we have a contrary mindset? Well, let me share with you a couple of thoughts here. The hardening of one's heart, the closing of one's mind, requires a conscious effort. That's why he said today, if you will hear my voice, then don't harden your heart. You have an option here. You cannot hear his voice. Although his voice may ring loudly in your ear, you can refuse it, you can reject it, you can not hear what he has to say. Let me show you what I mean. How many of you in here have ever raised a teenager? How many of you in here have ever been a teenager? That covered most of us, and the rest of you are miracles. But you know what it's like to stand and encourage and reprove and correct and share with and talk to a teenager, and for them to totally back away, close their ears, close their mind, maybe if you're lucky, close their mouth, and not listen. You know what that's like. Do you know that's what we're like in God's presence? He comes in His Word to encourage us, to reprove us, to correct us, to lead us, to guide us, to direct us. And we often back away and close our minds and close our hearts, and we fail to listen. So there's a conscious effort involved with this. Listen to my voice and do not harden your heart. But not only is there a conscious effort, there's a cumulative effect here. You know what happens when you take a rubber band and you stretch it, and you stretch it, and you stretch it, and you stretch it, and you stretch it until the elasticity is gone from it and it's no longer has binding and holding power. The same thing happens in the life of a Christian. When we hear and reject, when we know better and don't do, when we feel led and don't follow, when we say, if they'll just get through singing, I won't have to dedicate myself afresh. If you'll just get through preaching, I can get my mind off the gospel. If I can guess out of this service, I won't have to come back tonight or Wednesday, and maybe not even next Sunday. I can cool down before I get in the heat of the gospel again. There's a cumulative effect there. For every disobedience, it makes it easier to disobey. For every rejection, it's easier to reject. For every rebellion, it's easier to rebel. And every time he speaks and you stop up your spiritual ears, it becomes easier not to hear and not to heed the word of the gospel. So there's this conscious effort where I am commanded to listen and not harden my heart. There's this cumulative effort where things don't bother me like they once did, where the Spirit doesn't convict me like he once did, where I don't care as much as I once did, where the further I drift away, the less of him I can see that I once did. And that all leads to this continuing expression that it takes more effort to come home from a mile than it does from a block. It takes more effort to climb out of a hole than it does to fall into one. It takes more effort, Luke chapter 15, to get up out of the pig pen and come home to the Father than it did in arrogance to walk away demanding your own self-will. A calling master, but a hard heart. Which brings us to a final thought. A critical moment. So, Pastor, when is that? Right now. Right now, a critical moment. Why is it a critical moment today if you hear his voice? Harden not your heart. Today is the obvious time. Why is it so obvious? Because you're not at work where they curse the name of Jesus. Because you're not at school where you're tempted to do wrong. Because you're not out there where you're standing all alone. Because you are in the house of God with hundreds of people who are praying for you, standing beside you, willing to embrace you, cheering you on. Because a great cloud of witnesses is watching after you. Because all of heaven is beckoning you to come. Because Jesus is standing. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Why is it obvious? Because now, today, God invites you to come home to him. But it's not just obvious, it's opportune. Seek the Lord while he may be found. I don't know how I feel about the following, but I do know it's true. God's Spirit will not always strive with man. This may be the last service, just like this service, that any of us are in. A crowd this size, I don't think it's wrong to say that we won't all of us be together again in this same place like this. Most of us will be back, but the rapture could occur. And as we so well know, death comes quickly in many circumstances. So to say that we'll all have this same opportunity again is not really a true statement at all. That's why today is so important. That's why today is an opportune time. That's why seeking God now is what all of us ought to do. That's why today, if the Spirit is speaking, you ought to listen. If the Spirit is drawing, you ought to come. If the Spirit is working, you ought to surrender. That's why now is the right time. I've heard it said, but Pastor, there are some things I'd like to straighten out, and then. How about now is the accepted time and letting God straighten out all the things you've messed up? How about coming to him on his terms, not yours? How about recognizing the brevity of life and the certainty of death and the call of the gospel and the fact that His Spirit has worked on you before and is working on you today and may not work on you tomorrow. That sobering thought leads me to one last statement. It's not only an obvious time and an opportune time. Oh my, it may be the only time. It may be the only time. Well, Pastor, you're just trying to scare me. I'd rather scare you into the will of God as lure you into your own self-will. But I'm not trying to frighten you. I'm trying to awaken you. You're a child of God. You ought to be ashamed of yourself if you're walking in disobedience and have no desire to repent. In fact, if you continually walk in disobedience with no desire to repent, you may need to make your calling and your election with God certain. So if God is speaking to your heart today, if you have lost your intimacy with Him, if fellowship is weak and maybe even non-existent, today, an opportune time. Today, maybe the only time you need to come. And here's what that means. If you've robbed God of your time, your talent, your tithe, today is the day of repentance. Prodigal, come home. If you've been worshiping with us for quite some time, God has spoken to your heart about becoming a part of the Central Church family. Today is an opportune time. Might be the only time. Come home. If there's something in your life that doesn't belong in the life of a Christian, next week is not a good time to repent. Today is. Today it needs to be dealt with. Right now you need to confess your sin to God and come home. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. If you're not saved, although this message has mostly been to believers, I want to encourage you to come and take one of the pastor's hands and allow them to lead you to a saving knowledge of Christ. If your membership is elsewhere and you want to become a part of Central Church family, you come and let us tell you how that can take place. But all over this room, there are those of us who know that there has been a time in our life when we were closer to Christ than we are this morning. A public admission of that, a public confession of that, and a public surrender today is what the Word of God is calling for. So would you stand, please? And while our pastors come to the altar, we sing a song of invitation and encouragement. Who will be the first one to say, I hear that voice today, and I'm going to listen, I'm going to respond, I'm going to do what I know is the right thing to do. Pastors, you come while we sing.
There is a place of quiet rest near